So the studies are in. Can you compete with AI, that artificial intelligence? Can you become a better persuader, or is AI better at persuading? We're going to talk about the do's and don'ts, a little bit about that. Let's get rolling.
Maximize Your Influence is your podcast for the latest persuasion, sales, and negotiation techniques. Our mission is to help you influence on command, anyone, anytime, anywhere. Your host is the author of Persuasion IQ, Laws of Charisma, and the best-selling book, Maximum Influence. Now, your host, Kurt Mortensen.
So this new world of AI, what are we going to do with it? How can we use it to enhance our life? It's going to change the game for a lot of things, including sales, persuasion, influence, and negotiation. But before we get into that, welcome. This is Kurt Mortensen, Podcast 507, as we talk about the things you should have learned in school. We're going to take a deep dive today on a variety of different topics. Tell your family, friends, and enemies about the podcast. Let's dive into our persuasion blunder of the week.
Don't!
Now, if you've ever taken a marketing class, most marketing professors will say about 80% of all new products fail. Why? Those are blunders. These are costing millions, billions of dollars. And I want to give you some examples, especially for some of these larger companies out there. They're all making a mistake. The biggest mistake for most is they're focusing on the logic and the emotion. Because when you work for a company for 5 years, not that anybody does that anymore, you get so close to what you're doing, your project, your product, your service, your company, you miss the emotional attachment, the passion, the why, the benefits, why people use you as a business. The biggest one we've talked about before, this is the case history between Coke and Pepsi and Coke's big blunder. In the 70s, Pepsi was nothing. In the 80s came the Pepsi Challenge. They're losing market share to Pepsi, and they're spending 10 times more in marketing. And that formula does not work very well, because Pepsi did something very brilliant, the Pepsi Challenge, where in blind taste tests, people prefer the taste of Pepsi to Coke, around 3-1. And they're switching teams. So again, Coke's spending 10 times more in marketing, losing market share. So they're like, well, maybe people's tastes are changing. We need to adjust the secret formula. So they did some research, tried some new flavors, and came out with new Coke. But before they came out with it, they did their research. And in blind taste test, Coca-Cola drinkers prefer the taste of new Coke to old Coke. Well, duh, you changed. They did. And you want to know what happened? People freaked out. There was picketing, bomb threats, fights in the supermarkets. People going to Mexico to buy the old stuff. Customer service is inundated. Again, mass hysteria to the point where they had to switch back. And they went to upper management and said, hey, what happened? What's going on here? He said, we forgot the emotional attachment, the passion people had for our product. It's a soda. But you change someone's soda they've been drinking for 20, 30 years, they're going to freak out. And that's what they did. Then there's Cadillac. We asked people, hey, what if we made more gas-efficient, smaller Cadillac? And they came out with the Cadillac Cimarron. This also happened in the 80s, which tarnished the Cadillac brand. See, it was supposed to be marketed like a compact luxury car aimed at younger buyers to compete with all those European imports. It was basically a re-engineered version of the Chevy Cavalier. So it was marketed as luxury under the Cadillac name, but it had quality, performance, value issues, and it was not a Cadillac. Why do you buy a Cadillac? It's either got to be really big or really fast. You're not buying it to save money or probably even save gas. And a lot of experts feel this led to Cadillac's decline in the 80s. Emotion will always trump logic, just like this one. So they went up to people and say, hey, a lot of people open in the fridge and they just sit there with an open gawking, looking for things, wasting energy. What if we could create a see-through refrigerator? It would save you about $100 a year in electricity. You'd be going green. You're helping the environment. Is that a good idea? People are like, yeah, logically, it's an awesome idea. And so they did come out with a see-through refrigerator. And it failed miserably. Because on the emotional side, when Aunt Edna comes over and says, yeah, is that meatloaf or pudding? You don't want to explain it. You don't want people seeing it. It's like your medicine cabinet. Don't look in my fridge. Or another big blunder, all based on logic. Intel. They make computer chips. So they come out with this brand new computer chip, and the media got a hold of it, finding out there's a mistake. There's a flaw in this chip. And everyone who had a new computer is freaking out, like, no, I don't want a flawed chip. And all the logical engineers at Intel were like, oh, You've got to be a rocket scientist for it to make a mistake. Don't worry about it. It's not that big of a flaw. It won't even affect you. All right, the emotional side, flaw, maybe there might be a mistake. I don't want one with a mistake. They had to go back and replace all these chips. They try to use logic to solve it, but you can't use logic to solve an emotional issue. Another interesting one, Encarta, Microsoft. They paid everybody big bucks to come out with this online encyclopedia, and it failed to Wikipedia, who paid no one. So now this open source, getting emotionally attached, emotionally involved, you're participating, you're doing it. The people are in charge, especially as we approach Web3 and what that's going to do to the internet. And a lot of times, again, people just aren't emotionally or even logically ready. Google Glass, what was that, in 2013? A wearable smart device with a head-mounted display. A lot of hype, but people are like, oh, wait, can they see through my clothes? Privacy concerns, social acceptance, is it a creeper creeperton? And they pulled it after 2 years. And I bet in the future it'll probably come out again and we'll accept it, but sometimes it's just too soon, and emotionally we are not ready. Microsoft Zune was a competitor to the iPod in 2006, but it just didn't capture the market. People were too loyal to Apple. Even when the first Segway came up, we see them all the time now, but when it first came out, the big one, it was too expensive. It wasn't as practical as they are now. There were safety concerns, and it did fail. Or if you remember videotapes, there was VHS and there was Beta. Beta was better. It was more compact, higher quality. But it lost out to VHS, and the rest is history. And one I've always thought interesting, early Apple days, it was 1993. Apple came out with the very first PDA, a personal digital assistant called the Newton. And it was innovative, did have a high price, a little bulky, but they pulled it after 5 years. And another one I thought very interesting is video phones when they launched were complete failures. People use them all the time now. It was just too much back then to fix your hair, have other people see you. People weren't used to that. But now with computers, hey, people FaceTime all the time. They're always using digital type phones. Zoom, we use them all the time. Some people still don't like them, but now it is the new norm. So doesn't always help to be the first, the fastest. Doesn't always help if you love it because it might be too logically based instead of emotionally based. And those are just some examples from history of marketing blunders. And that brings us to our geeky scholarly article. This is Science Direct, Psych Central. One we all can work on because attention spans are all-time low. Tips to improve your concentration. Why is it all-time low? Well, we can blame tech, computers, our busyness in life. Because when you feel stress, you're dehydrated, get poor sleep, you're bored, can all trigger this. It is a huge issue for everybody, but especially get younger in the workforce. So let's just talk about a few of these, because if you can't get them to concentrate, if you can't get them engaged and get yourself engaged, get yourself to concentrate, the persuasion process becomes very difficult. One we know to be true, bad sleeping habits. So lack of sleep can negatively impact your brain. We know that. When you get tired, you can't think straight. It feels like your brain's not working. You can't concentrate on anything. And one we really don't think about, at least enough, is dehydration. Because the first symptoms of just mild dehydration affects your thoughts, your cognitions first. All right, that's one we can work on. We can do better there too. Can't always fix that one, but staying hydrated, getting plenty of liquids is one we can definitely work on. One I know to be true, daily exercise. You think better. You have more energy. You don't need as much sleep. They suggest 150 minutes of moderate exercise every week. One they added, you don't usually think about meditation. There's different styles there, but it can build mindfulness, improve your concentration. They found this out in a 2019 Science Direct study. So hey, if it works for you, play some background music you enjoy. Now, I've seen this go both ways. Some people can't concentrate. It's very distracting with music. Some people swear by it. So you do you. Take a break. If you're having problem focusing, I would add get some sunshine, some fresh air, do a little walk. Little something, something, get back on track. And the one that caught my eye, and I had to go look up this study, is chew gum. So I went right to the source of this study they did. And this is the National Library of Medicine. Says recent evidence has indicated that chewing gum can enhance attention as well as promoting well-being and work performance. So they looked at four different studies that chewing gum can enhance alertness and sustained attention. But they looked at these different studies and came up with this conclusion. So they said chewing gum was associated with enhanced productivity and reduced cognitive errors at work, meaning you were more productive, you made fewer errors. In the morning time, it heightened your cortisol levels. And even though they said you could be more alert and have more sustained attention, they weren't 100% sure of the accuracies of these studies. But hey, take it. If it works for you, it does increase productivity and you make fewer errors. So there you have it. That's our geeky scholarly article. And next, our listener email.
Oh boy.
Remember, if you use anything, an article, an email, humor, something on the podcast, you get the free gold version of InfluenceUniversity.com. I'll put a link in below, over 60% off. And all the links will be available at MaximizeYourInfluence.com. So Carol from Puerto Rico, she says, Kurt, I heard you talk about how to use AI to become a better persuader. I just heard lately that AI is going to replace salespeople and is currently doing a better job. All right, Carol, let's take a look at it. She's included a link of this study. So the study found participants who were debating with AI, and this AI had access to their personal information, 81.7% of them had increased agreement with, like, ChatGPT than those who debated with humans. Did you catch that? So a little over 81% agreed with the AI, the artificial intelligence, more than those who debated with the human. And they said even without that personalized information, AI still outperformed humans, but the effect was obviously much lower and statistically not significant. And they've had certain AI helping salespeople for a year. When you call up, it reads your phone number, pops up on their screen, your name, the weather where you're at, your favorite coffee, how much debt you have, do you own a house? That information's out there, and it's allowing this artificial intelligence to customize and adapt to humans quicker, better, and faster than humans. So this study was done by Swiss and Italian academics. The study covered various debate topics, including the circulation of pennies, animal testing, college admissions. And it goes back to that the persuasive power increased when they had access to personalized information, demographic information about the participants. The human debaters did worse when they received demographic information about the opponents. Probably because it increased stress. They couldn't go through it as fast as they probably needed it. Time to prep and think about it. I can't think why that would hurt unless it increased stress. They didn't have time to go through it, overwhelmed them. They tried to use all of it. I mean, there could be some factors there. Overall, demographic information is going to help humans be better persuaders. So they talk about some risks and maybe some ethical considerations that the manipulation of online conversations. Are you really talking to AI? Is it a real salesperson? The day's going to come when we don't know. Do we have to reveal that? People might put misinformation about us, about our demographics. That could be a high risk. And nobody has these answers. Most people love it. They like to use it. They do a pretty good job out covering the rear end and not answering certain questions. I know some of the bots still are using older data, so you're not getting the most current research depending on what you're searching. So, Carol, I don't think we're ready for this. I mean, they have a lot of challenges to address, like I mentioned. That transparency. Where is it being used? How is it being used? How is it being used on us? What jobs is it going to enhance? What jobs is it going to replace? Are we ready for AI to fly a plane without a pilot? Probably not. Cars, we're working on that. Do we have to get consent or for the data that people are mining? When are they allowed to use it? How much you want the government involved? Regulation, laws, legal frameworks. And who do you want to decide what is right and what is wrong? Carol, I don't think it'll be replaced yet. You can enhance it for the things that you're doing. We can talk about a few of those. But the risk is an ongoing process. This technology is going to evolve. For now, we can harness some of the benefits, but it definitely is an issue. And we always know there's probably going to be people that want a human over a bot. Some people might want an AI bot just because it's quicker, faster, and easier. And we've all had that bad experience when it's some type of AI or bot trying to answer our questions and they're not even close. And it's very difficult to get to a human. A lot of people have had that experience. So this is going to have to come a lot further for people to rely on it more. I mean, we're getting there with all the AI websites that are coming up and what they can do. So how can you use it? Well, if you're over the phone, have a computer in front of you, it's always good if they say an acronym or have a question or there's something about the industry you want to know about. AI could be very, very helpful to you. And it's getting to the point, too, where you can provide helpful information to your customers, provide support, address concern, answer questions, help people make informed purchasing decisions. Some people might feel that artificial intelligence is a little less biased than a human getting a commission. That is definitely a possibility. But for now, I mean, you can use artificial intelligence to personalize interactions, and you can use artificial intelligence to gather information about customers' preferences, past purchases, interest, and offer personalized recommendations and suggestions. You can do that. You can even take your company's internal database and turn that into AI and have the pull, and just you have the access to that information that you can pull trends, preferences, interests, and other things that you can really use to personalize to your customers. And of course, that's the goal. You're trying to help them persuade themselves. And if you can focus on what you're offering, what you have, and you know their current problems, and you can meet their needs, this is going to improve their lives. That's what it's all about. And I've also seen these sites like ChatGPT, great place to find or even use social validation, like testimonials, reviews, success stories. And that's one of the 12 laws of persuasion, social validation. When you could demonstrate the quality and the value of your product, that other people are using it, it will build trust. Because you have something to gain, and trust is an all-time low. But when, for example, Amazon has 5,000 five-star reviews, there's really no reason to worry about trust. It's not really something you could make up, and it increases trust. And some are using it for follow-up, post-purchase support, assistance and setup, making sure they had a positive experience, collecting feedback, what they can improve, is all part of it. It's there. Use it to your benefit now, whether it be help with proposals, finding more about the industry. Some are using it to prioritize leads, reducing sales cycles, and increasing customer engagement. So there's a lot of benefits, a lot of pluses, a lot of things that you can do there. But thanks for sending me that link. Crazy. Off the charts did better than humans in a debate in persuading other people. So that's a wrap. There you have it. That's podcast 507. All the links again will be at maximizeyourinfluence.com. The special will continue. Influenceuniversity.com. Used to be a monthly membership. Now you get a lifetime membership. Everything I've done from audios, videos, books, seminar trainings, the library. So you can go right to the source, go to the library, get what you need. You can go through the 52-week advanced persuasion tool program where you're getting a new tool every week. So thanks for being here. You can find us on Spotify, YouTube, iHeartRadio, iTunes, all under Maximize Your Influence. So don't be afraid of AI. Have your eyes open. It's going to replace some things. Don't think it's going away. Because it's not. You can implement it. You can use it to find out how other salespeople are using it. It can free up some time during the day and increase your productivity. There are some great things there. Legally, we'll let them figure that one out. So use AI. Become more influential. It'll help your negotiations. You can use it to keep your customers happier and take all that and go out and persuade with power.